Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for restarting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show. And God, for anybody that's just joining us right now, we talk about the brighter side of the 805. And I just want to remind you, if for any reason you missed any part of our show today, you can listen on KimPaganoShow.com or iTunes. All of our stuff's downloaded there. Also, if you have anything that you want to spread throughout the 805, give us a call at either 805-419-0008, or you can always email us at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Today, I will be playing some of my personal favorite interviews, and my first guest this afternoon is Zach Leverenz, the chief executive officer of Everyone On. And also, we're going to be joined with Connie Wang, and she is a style director of Refinery 29. And then we will be showcasing the latest summer trends and providing tips on how to update your wardrobe. Lastly, we will be talking with Leslie Holman about the ongoing crisis at the border. And, you know, this is all the things that are happening on the brighter side, and that's what we do. We look at all that stuff. So I hope that you like our show, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of the 805. And we always talk about the, you know, the things that can help us in our lives. And today I have the pleasure of Dr. Courtney Moore joining me here. And we're going to be talking about, you know, so many people know about Botox, and they use it for to get their lines out of their face and stuff. But Dr. Moore today is going to be talking about how it's used in overactive bladder. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of people. I'm a hairstylist, a hair therapist. And so, you know, when I get started throughout the day, I'm always like, just go, 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 go. And I know that's probably not the best. So we'll kind of hear a little bit about that. But there's so many things that they're using Botox for. And Dr. Moore is going to talk to us about that. Dr. Courtney Moore, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, please.
Sure. So I am the Associate Professor of Surgery at Cleveland Clinic Case Lerner College of Medicine. I'm the Fellowship Director at the Cleveland Clinic Glickman Urological Association for Female Pelvic Medicine and Reconstructive Surgery. So I did a residency in urology, and then I specialized, I did a two-year fellowship in voiding dysfunction, so incontinence, as well as female reconstructive surgery.
Okay. And I know that, is this, I mean, how big of a problem is this? Do a lot of people have this?
So it's actually a staggering number. 39 million Americans report symptoms of overactive bladder.
Really? And can you just go through for my listeners and, you know, for myself, is I know that there's a lot of women that, you know, we take a drive somewhere and they're like, can you just pull over? Can you pull over? And I'm like, really? Okay. And we go, and then we get back in the car and it's like, did you not go? And they have to go again. You know, is that kind of the symptom?
Correct. So overactive bladder is a condition that is characterized by the strong sudden desire to go to the bathroom, which we call urgency, urinary frequency, meaning going a lot, and sometimes incontinence. So when they get that urge to go to the bathroom, they don't make it to the bathroom in time.
Okay. And is this just in older women, or can anybody have this?
It's more common after the age of 65, but we see it in women across all age groups. And we also see it in men, so it crosses gender lines. So both men and women can be affected by it.
Oh, okay. And we used to think that that was a bladder infection, right, if we had to go to the bathroom a lot, and that's not really the case.
No, so bladder infections are characterized by dysuria or pain when you urinate, but people that are going to the bathroom frequently, it's typically related to overactive bladder, not a bladder infection, if they don't have any pain associated with it.
Okay. So for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, I know you're going, what are they talking about? But we are talking about overactive bladders. And in the summer months, we have Dr. Courtney Moore here. She's an MD, and that's basically what you specialize in, right? But
yes.
There's a lot of new findings for this, and I would love to talk to you about, some of the things that you're doing with that. And I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of the 805. So how did you, is this something that you deal with every day with your patients?
It is. So as we said, it's a common disorder that affects a lot of patients. So we recently did a survey looking at women over the age of 45. It included over 1,000 women. Looking at the impact of overactive bladder, we found that 9 out of 10 women reported overactive bladder affected their everyday life in a negative way. So not only is it common, it definitely has a detrimental effect on your lifestyle. Another thing is that we found that even if people are on medication, 50% of the people that are currently receiving therapy are not satisfied with their therapies. So the medicines that we had to offer are not adequately treating their symptoms. A lot of people actually stop these medicines, about 75%, because they can't either tolerate the side effects or they're just not working. So there's been a push to develop more novel techniques to treat overactive bladder. One of those novel techniques is Botox, which was FDA approved for overactive bladder in 2013.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. What is your thoughts on it? I mean, are people allergic to Botox? Let's just start right there.
So there's not an allergy to Botox. If you've had a hypersensitivity reaction because you got it somewhere else, then you should not use it. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, it does contain albumin, so you can't receive the Botox then. But there's no allergy to Botox.
Okay, so it's just more of a sensitivity.
Correct. So in certain studies, people have been shown to have a sensitivity reaction to it, to the serum. So those patients are not candidate for additional Botox injections.
Okay, and so are you actually injecting it to your bladder? Is that what it is?
We are. So the analogy is, if you have wrinkles in your forehead, that's because the face muscle is spasming. So you inject that muscle and calm it down. So we do the same thing. We actually inject the Botox into the bladder to calm the bladder muscle so it doesn't spasm. So we do have to do a small procedure. It's an outpatient procedure. It's called a cystoscopy, and then we inject it directly into the bladder muscle.
So I've heard that when people have, migraines, they sometimes get those kind of things, or twitch in their eye, and I've heard them, actually have it treated with Botox. So this is kind of the same thing, correct?
Same premise, right. It's preventing the spasm of that muscle.
And it's the spasm that's making you feel like you have the urgency to go to the bathroom again.
Yes, and it's also sometimes that spasm will create enough force that you leak urine. You have an incontinence.
Okay. So let me ask you, as a doctor, what other types of symptoms do you deal with?
So my specialty, I deal with incontinence, prolapse. I deal also with neurogenic voiding dysfunction, so patients who have neurologic diseases causing urinary symptoms.
Okay. Now, I know that you also, I guess there's a lot of women. You also deal with female sexual dysfunction, correct?
Yes, I do.
And talk to us a little bit about that.
So female sexual dysfunction is kind of it's a broad topic. There are a lot of different reasons for it. The role of the urologist is primarily to rule out anatomic issues, so prolapse or incontinence. So we see a lot of women that have female sexual dysfunction because they actually have urinary incontinence. So they're afraid to have intercourse because they're afraid of leaking. So it's very common in women who have incontinence. There are also other factors involved. Sometimes there's a psychosocial component with abuse, et cetera. But the role of the urologist is to rule out an anatomic cause of it. And a lot of times, again, we see patients who have incontinence that we treat. When we treat their incontinence, their sexual dysfunction goes away.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I do want to remind anybody. I'm sorry?
If it's related to the incontinence.
If you've gotten right to the source, right?
Right.
Yeah. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now. We are talking with Dr. Courtney Moore, and she is an MD. She's overactive bladder treatments. So are you thinking that Botox is one of the more common ones used?
For overactive bladder?
Correct.
So it is. So when we look at Botox, the indication is for patients that have either failed a medical therapy or they can't tolerate medical therapy. The Botox is used for a lot of different things. So just since 2013, it's been used for overactive bladder. So there are a lot of patients with overactive bladder. So it has potential for being one of the most commonly used formulations of Botox.
So let me ask you a question, Dr. Moore. Have you heard of something where they actually put an implant inside you, or like on your, I guess it's either on your side, and it's like a pulsating kind of thing?
Yes. So it's called an inner stim device. So the AUA guidelines that were issued in 2014, we have different tiers of therapy. So first line therapy is dietary modification, physical therapy. Second line therapy is medical therapy. And then third line therapy we use for people that are refractory. And the AUA updated their guidelines in 2014, and Botox is a standard of care now, and InterStim is a recommendation. So InterStim is a surgical implantation. So you do have to go to the operating room, and we implant a bladder pacemaker. So it actually paces the sacral nerve roots, which go to the bladder.
And what's your thought on that? How effective is that?
So it is also very effective. Again, you have to be refractory to at least two medications. There are pros and cons. It does require to go to the operating room. When you have an implant in, you cannot get MRIs. So for a lot of patients that need repeated MRIs, it's not a good option. It does have to be revised. The battery only lasts for about 4 years, so it does require revisions. But it is an effective therapy.
Really? And how often do you do that?
So we do a lot of, so given my subspecialty, all I do is this type of, I focus on this area. So the clinic, we're one of the largest centers of voiding dysfunction. So we do a lot of Botox and we do a lot of InterStim because we see a lot of patients that have failed medical therapies as a tertiary referral center.
Okay. And what made you to go into this, Courtney?
Actually, it's an interesting story. My grandmother was diagnosed with metastatic ovarian cancer, and I took a year off from medical school to actually take care of her. And I thought I wanted to go into oncology until I saw all the ramifications from radiation and chemotherapy in women, and that they had a lot of incontinence, they developed fistulas. And there was really no one that took care of these patients. And they were, incontinence, they're not dying of cancer, but it's significantly affecting their quality of life. And these patients are in depends, and you're changing their beds every day. And it was just horrifying. And I realized that I could make a small impact and change someone's quality of life, the rest of the quality of life that they had. So I felt like there was a huge void in treating women with these conditions. Urologists weren't doing it, gynecologists weren't doing it. So this subspecialty for female reconstructive surgery kind of bridges that gap so that there is a field that takes care of women that have urinary issues. And it's very common in women. They were kind of an underserved population for a long period of time.
Wow, I love that you heard your calling, and that's really what my show's all about, is taking your gift and giving it back to everyone. And I think that, that's what you found with taking care of your grandmother, but at the same time, there was something that was missing. I mean, this is, something that when you talk about it, it is really a huge impact on women, and it would really... if you're dating or if you're just in an everyday life, you can't really function.
No, and studies have shown that it causes social isolation, depression, anxiety. It affects sexual function. It just affects overall quality of life. And as that study showed, 9 out of 10 women are affected by overactive bladder on a daily basis, not on a weekly basis, but on a daily basis. So it really does have a negative impact on women.
So how effective are these surgeries and Botox and the procedures that you do?
So actually, they're very effective. So again, a lot of people that fail medical therapy sometimes feel like there's nothing else to offer. But Botox, is reduces urgency incontinent episodes by 50%, reduces urgency and reduces urinary frequency. The same with the InterStim device, but they're very effective, and it gives patients hope that there's something after medical therapy. It's changed people's lives, so it definitely is a greater than 50% improvement in their symptoms.
Wow. Okay, and where do we find out more about this?
Sure. So one thing is engaging your physician. If you're on medical therapy and it's not working, you need to talk to them and come up with a different treatment plan. There are other resources available online, particularly BotoxForOAB.com, which gives a lot of information about Botox, how it's injected, and providers that actually do the injections.
Okay, great. And where do we find out more about you?
I can be found on the clinic, on Cleveland Clinic website, which is clevelandclinic.org, under the urology department.
Okay, great. And again, Dr. Courtney Moore, how, if somebody is feeling this, tell us, you know, what would be the first thing that we do, and kind of take us through a couple steps?
Sure. So when people have these type of symptoms, the first thing to do is to talk to their doctor and rule out other things. So make sure, as you said, they don't have a bladder infection. To look at your lifestyle. So if you're drinking 20 pots of coffee a day, that's a bladder irritant and a diuretic. You need to eliminate those things. And then your primary care doctor can either refer you, if he or she does not feel comfortable treating you for this condition, they can refer you on to a specialist, a urologist or a urogynecologist.
Okay. And, you know, what's interesting is when you go to the gynecologist, that is not really a bladder doctor, correct?
No, it is not. So there are gynecologists that can further subspecialize and go into urogynecology, but they are not right. They
right.
focus
and
on...
Right, and so you really need a doctor that specializes in what you do.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I it's interesting because I never thought, you know, you kind of all think it's all right there, so you don't think that you need another doctor. And it was interesting to find that out. So I appreciate, you know, that you are a specialist in that area. And where do we find out more about Botox and how that can help people?
So Botox, there's a website that for more information regarding Botox and, again, how it's injected and the treatment options. It's BotoxForOAB.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Courtney Moore. Again, I appreciate you talking about these topics that a lot of people don't want to mention. And, you know, to me, it's about the brighter side of life, and that's what we're doing here to talk about it. So thank you for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you, Kim. Have a good day.
You too. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. Thank you.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
On September 27th, join the students for eco-education in agriculture at the second annual Ventura County Farm Day. Each location will have activities including guided tours, farmer meet and greets, question and answer sessions, taste testing, produce picking, and more. This is a free, fun day for the entire family, and participants are encouraged to visit as many farms as they can. The Farm Day festivities will continue through the evening at McGrath Family Farm in Camarillo with the Ventura County Farm Day Barbecue. Local farm-to-table chef Tim McCoyne will be providing providing seasonal sides while the young farmers and ranchers are grilling up a storm. Milk and Honey Farm will supply the delectable desserts. Again, this event is for the entire family. There'll be live music, dancing, photo booth, and games to keep the kids entertained. Visit the Farm Day website at VenturaCountyFarmDay.com for more information and purchase tickets to the Farm Day Barbecue at Ventura County Farm Day BBQ.eventbrite.com.
Do you struggle with fatigue, sleeplessness, digestive issues, weight gain, or skin problems? What would your life look like if you actually felt good every day? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to regain your vitality, we can help. Core Elements Wellness can help you get to the root cause of your complaints and provide you with a customized health-building blueprint so you can finally start feeling better. To learn more, call 805-277-1977 and mention the Kim Pagano Show for a special discount or check out the website at www.coreelementswellness.com. That's 805-277-1977. Feel good today.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on
KPTA. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. We talk about the brighter side, and we are in the 805 right now. And joining us is Daniel Schmuski. And it's kind of like a, you know, it's funny because you don't think, I mean, everybody's probably got one stuff somewhere in their cabinet, but it's actually one of my favorite things. When I go to a hotel, they still always have those, but waffle iron. And Dan's new book is Will It Waffle? And so we're going to talk about 53 irresistible and unexpected recipes that we can actually use, that waffle iron, put it to use. So let's bring Daniel on. And again, for anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Daniel, are you there?
I am, Kim. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So, okay, what's the unexpected recipes? I mean, I always like to go for, like, let's go for the gusto right here. What's unexpected?
Right, fair enough. So, you know, the book is really all about taking the waffle iron and making it for a lot more than just waffles, and even beyond that, a lot more than just breakfast. So when you're talking unexpected recipes for the waffle iron, let's talk about something like waffled falafel.
Ooh, okay, I like the name. What is that?
So, you know, typically falafel are sort of these chickpea fritters that are deep fried. And I don't necessarily have a problem eating deep fried food, but I don't always want to do it at home because it heats up the kitchen and it takes a while. So this is a way to make falafel in just a few minutes in your waffle iron.
Wow, I like it. You know, let's back up just a little bit. Daniel Schmuski is who we're talking with right now. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your background? Tell us a little bit about you and who you are.
Yeah, so I went to school for journalism, and then I worked for a few newspapers, and I did a lot of food writing. And then I fell into a job at a farmer's market and got to know a lot of chefs. And then I sort of had this idea for a blog about alternative uses for your waffle iron. And I was able to combine, you know, my connections with chefs and my love of food and writing and just kind of turn it into a book.
Wow, that's a very cool idea. I love farmers markets. They're all coming back, and, you know, it's like, you know, one or two hands touched it, you know, and
yeah.
It's kind of clean eating. I'm looking at some of your recipes here, and just with crispy sesame waffle kale. Now, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted to include some things that were way out there in a way, right? So you would not expect kale to be cooked in a waffle iron, but I like kale. You know, it's really good for you. It's super popular at the moment, and one of the great ways to eat
kale.
It. I know, right? And one of the great ways to eat it is as these kale chips. And so I was thinking of my waffle iron and thinking of kale, and I was, you know, will it waffle? I'm going to see if I can make it work in the waffle iron. And lo and behold, you put kale in the waffle iron, and it crisps up, and it turns into these great kale chips with these great waffle indentations in them.
Wow, that is amazing. You know, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now and you're going, Will It Waffle? That is the name of his book. And what a cool kind of a journey that you've been on, you know, where cooking has kind of been your passion as also as a journalist. And then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of kind of have this little twist and this little idea of bringing something back. And so is this book, I don't have it in front of me, but is it all recipes?
Yeah, it's all recipes. There's a little bit at the front about sort of, you know, the history of the waffle iron, and there's a little bit about working with your waffle iron and what kind of waffle iron, you know, you should you get and this sort of thing. But the bulk of the book is the 53 things that you can make in the waffle iron that are not waffles.
So give us just a second. How did the waffle come about? Is that, you know, what did you find out about that?
Yeah, what's funny is you can trace the history of the waffle really far back in history. So let's say if you go back to medieval times, one of the precursors of the modern waffle were actually communion wafers. And then if you fast forward, isn't that crazy? And if you fast forward to the early times, the early history of our country, you learn that in 1789, Thomas Jefferson went to France and came back from France with a waffle iron.
Oh, that's very cool. I love that. You know, it's funny, you really wouldn't, you know, I mean, so is this your first book?
It is. It is my first book. I've written other articles before, but this is my first book. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So question, okay, so going back to, I mean, I see you have waffled salmon with miso, oh my God, maple glaze and asparagus. Okay, I'm like all right there. Those are my favorites. What, is it in a batter? Is all of these things, even like, you know, the kale, are they all in batters?
That's a great question because I think people hear waffle and they think batter, right? But the one rule of this book... Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a natural association. But the one rule that I set for this book was no waffle batter, right? And so when you're making the salmon, you're essentially using your waffle iron as a grill, and you get the two-sided heat from the waffle iron, and you get those divots. And when you talk about something like that miso maple glaze, it settles into those divots, and you get that salty, sweet tang of the glaze against the fish, and it works beautifully.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so here's the question. Okay, so is there some guidelines for developing your own waffle recipes? You know, everybody always goes, oh, I think I could do this, and they want to, you know, so what's the guidelines on that?
Right. I mean, I had to experiment a lot to create the recipes in this book, and so I definitely encourage people to take it in their own direction and to answer the question, will it waffle themselves? There are some things to consider. You know, you have to think about, for example, you know, you cannot stuff your Thanksgiving turkey into a waffle iron, right? I mean, there are certain size limitations. You have to kind of cut things down to size. You can't make things that are too wet. I mean, things like soup are not going to work in the waffle iron, right?
But
exactly. The list of things that will work, though, is way longer than the list of things that will not.
Wow, I kind of love that concept. Now, I know you do a sweet and sour waffle shrimp wontons. Talk to us about that. Is that an easy recipe?
Those are pretty easy because, you know, one of the things that has going for it is you can buy the wonton wrappers in the package at the supermarket, and so then it's just a matter of taking them and then building that stuffing with the shrimp and a little bit of sweet and sour sauce and then cooking them in a few minutes in the waffle iron.
Wow, I like this. You know what I love about it is you can take your waffle iron pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, you were saying, it doesn't make your house all warm, you know, when you're cooking. So it's kind of just, you know, it's almost like a different way for grilling, correct, is kind of what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it has a lot in common with that. And when you say taking your waffle iron anywhere, one of my favorite things in this book are the waffled chocolate chip cookies. And basically means is you can make fresh cookies anywhere with an electric outlet without heating up the whole house, and you can make them in a few minutes.
So how many can you make? Do you have to make like a big waffle? Is that, or are you, talk to us about that.
Yeah, you keep them cookie sized, and you know, it depends on how big your waffle iron is, but you can make anywhere from, let's say, you know, if you only want one cookie, then it's a really easy way to make a single cookie. And if you want maybe half a dozen at a time, a lot of waffle irons will accommodate that sort of thing. So it's flexible.
Oh, now, you know, I have that one that you turn upside down, you know what I mean? And have you ever seen those?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What kind do you have?
Well, I don't know if I should admit this, but I have six kinds of waffle irons.
Oh, okay. So you're like, okay, got it. Okay. Because, I mean, they're great for heart cookies. They're great
yeah.
for Valentine's. They've got Mickey Mouse ones. Like, you
exactly.
know, I mean, really, yeah. So, okay. So lots of different kinds. You know, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us, one, gosh, what a cool way to bring waffles back. But Willis Waffle is Daniel Schmusky. His book, and great recipes in there, 53 irresistible and unexpected recipes to make in a waffle iron. Where do we find your book?
You can find it in bookstores. It's out as of today in bookstores all over the country, and you can also go to find out more to willitwaffle.com.
I love it. And where do we find out more about you?
Willitwaffle.com.
Waffle.com. All right. Well, and where are you located?
I live in Montreal.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, happy waffling, and thank you for sharing your book, and I hope that you have lots more to come.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Kim. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. All right. We will be back. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Sure thing.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
On September 27th, join the Students for Eco Education in Agriculture at the second annual Ventura County Farm Day. Each location will have activities including guided tours, farmer meet and greets, question and answer sessions, taste testing, produce picking, and more. This is a free, fun day for the entire family, and participants are encouraged to visit as many farms as they can. The Farm Day festivities will continue through the evening at McGrath Family Farm in Camarillo with the Ventura County Farm Day Barbecue. Local farm-to-table chef Tim McCoyne will be providing seasonal sides while the young farmers and ranchers are grilling up a storm. Milk and Honey Farm will supply the delectable desserts. Again, this event is for the entire family. There'll be live music, dancing, photo booth, and games to keep the kids entertained. Visit the Farm Day website at VenturaCountyFarmDay.com for more information and purchase tickets to the Farm Day Barbecue at Ventura County Farm Day BBQ.eventbrite.com.
Do you struggle with fatigue, sleeplessness, digestive issues, weight gain, or skin problems? What would your life look like if you actually felt good every day? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to regain your vitality, we can help. Core Elements Wellness can help you get to the root cause of your complaints and provide you with a customized health-building blueprint so you can finally start feeling better. To learn more, call 805-277-1977 and mention the Kim Pagano Show for a special discount or check out the website at www.coreelementswellness.com. That's 805-277-1977. Feel good today.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. We talk about the brighter side of life, and we are in the 805 right now. And we're going to talk a little bit about the high cost of mental health and in our young adults. And we have one of our experts here, and we're going to discuss a little bit about it. You know, I have four kids myself, and they're all young adults, and
You know, when they kind of passed that law that at what I think it's 26, they have to become off of your insurance. At that point, they're still not old enough, especially in our time of life and in our age of the world right now. But today we're going to talk with Dr. Doug Nemesek, and we're going to discuss this a little bit. So for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Can I call you Doug?
Absolutely. Please do. It's a pleasure to be here.
Doug, yes, how are you?
I'm doing well today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here. So tell us a little bit about yourself first.
I am a psychiatrist and was in practice for many years. And then currently I work for Cigna, and we offer lots of resources and supports and benefits for treatment of mental health and substance use disorders. And I am promoting today the fact that we really need to pay attention to our teenagers and young adults, because mental health disorders and substance use disorders are not only common in our teenagers and young adults, but that's the age group when these things really get started. And so it's vital that we identify these problems when they're starting, and so we can get them treated and get our kids the support they need in a timely way.
You know, I love this topic. I you know, again, I have all teenagers, and a couple of my daughters are a little bit older. But I always used to say when my kids were young that those were little problems, and now that they're older, they're big problems. You know, and so many people think that they only need to parent their kid when they're young. And I almost really disagree. At that point, you know, they crawl, they get into little things. You got to put things up, that kind of thing. But when kids get older and they really can't deal with things on their own, a lot of times they keep it in, and it becomes like this, you know, I mean, there's so many things, depression, you know, eating disorders. There's just so many things that are so prevalent out there. And so I really admire you for looking deeper into this. And I do want to remind any of my listeners that are just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Dr. Doug Nemesek, and he is the Chief Medical Officer of Cigna Behavior Health. So what are some of the symptoms and warnings that, you know, of mental health and addiction issues in our young people today?
I think it's important for parents to recognize that parents are really good judges of their kids' behavior, and parents are often the first to recognize that something's changing. Certainly as teenagers, we all go through lots of emotional and physical changes, but parents start to recognize that something's changing even beyond those sort of normal changes. Things to recognize and warning signs include changes in sleep, so wanting to sleep all of the time, and spending all day in bed maybe and not being able to get out of bed, changes in appetite, eating differently where all of a sudden we start losing weight unexpectedly or gaining a lot of weight unexpectedly, can be a sign of an issue. Changes in performance at school, either in high school or college, if grades unexpectedly start to drop from A's and B's to C's and D's, that can be a sign that something significant is going on, or job performance, going from being a good performer at work to having performance problems at work, or even having a hard time holding a job, is another warning sign that perhaps there's something going on from a mental health or a substance use disorder.
Doug, now, you know, again, do you have children?
I do. I have two children.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, a person that has one child doesn't always know that they think all kids are the same, right? But each one has a different path, a different journey. And you really need to be in tune with your child so that you can see where something's different, correct?
Correct. And I think that's why parents are often the first and people to recognize that something's changing and the closest to that. One of the big misconceptions out there in general are that, all teenagers are moody and difficult and have trouble managing their emotions. And to some degree, that is part
that
of the
is
normal
true,
change.
That is true, right? Yeah, right, exactly.
But parents start to recognize when someone's changing even more and that this goes beyond that and this isn't normal. It's important for parents to be able to talk to their kids about their about what's going on and about how they're feeling so that parents can also help support them and get them additional supports when necessary.
Well, so that leads to my next question is how, when and how should a parent intervene?
You know, it's important for parents to spend as much time listening as talking to their kids. We all know, because we were all teenagers and young adults once, that if our parents lecture to us or start telling us what we should or shouldn't be doing, we tend to tune out pretty quickly. So it's important to listen, be gentle and supportive, be honest and open and validate how somebody is feeling, how the child's feeling. So help them understand that they're not the only one who feels this way and that they don't have to feel this way and go through it alone, that you can help them and there are other people who can help them as well if needed.
Right. And, you know, here's something that of course, you're the therapist. There's a lot of people that, maybe your kids like to talk to better than their own parents. And, you know, a lot of parents are like, well, that they can't talk to them. I'm their mom. I'm their dad. And I always welcome my kids to talk to anybody that I trusted, that I knew was going to give them good advice. What's your thought on that?
It's certainly important for kids to have trusted, solid adult supports and relationships and have those healthy relationships with adults. And so if it's not a parent, having another adult that's trusted and can provide some of that support and structure can be very helpful for a child. Also, peer relationships. There are very many peer support groups out there as well that can help a child, a teenager or a young adult, understand that they're not alone, that other kids are feeling the same way and going through these same issues.
So here's a question. So your child turns, is it 26, and they no longer can be on their parents' insurance, correct?
That's correct, yes.
What are they supposed to do? They're not working yet. They just are maybe in college. They're trying their hardest, but then all of a sudden you start to see some depression or some eating disorders or substance abuse. Where do we go and what do we do?
The Affordable Care Act and the ability to have our children stay on our health plans until they're 25 has been a big help and support for those kids as we're starting to identify them. As they get older, hopefully they can find the ability and opportunity to continue to get some insurance. And without that, there are also community supports that are available. The National Alliance for Mental Illness is available in every state and most communities, offers support groups, offers help, it advocates, it helps people get to community mental health centers and other places where people can get supports and help that they need. And Cigna partners with groups such as the National Alliance for Mental Illness to help make sure people have access to those things.
Well, that's really good to know then. Okay, great. So what are some of the common misconceptions about young adults and mental health and some of their addiction issues?
Well, I think probably the biggest misconception that we've touched on a little bit is just the fact that we believe, well, all teenagers go through this and emotional disruption and drug use and alcohol use is just normal, so we shouldn't worry about it or pay attention to it in our teenagers and young adults. But these really are signs that there's potentially other issues, and we need to make sure we're identifying our kids and getting them support early if possible. The other misconception is that kids and young adults should be able to just pull themselves up by their bootstraps and work hard and they can deal with it. And really, we need to understand that mental health and substance use disorders are treatable conditions, and that with supports and treatment, people do get better, and it's important to get people that help.
Right, right. And now, is this something that runs in a family, or is it pretty much isolation? You know, what's your, you know, since you've been working with this for so long, what's your thought on that?
We do know that mental health and substance use problems run in families. There is definitely a genetic component to them. So it's important to recognize that. It doesn't mean that others are not at risk, and certainly every family is or can be affected by mental health or substance use issues. Adds to the importance of making sure you have open conversations with people and be aware that young adults and teenagers, if they're having symptoms, it's important to talk about them and get people support.
Right, right. I do want to remind anybody that's just waking up with us right now or tuning in with us right now, and if you are, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of the 805 is where we're talking. We're talking with Dr. Doug Nemasek, and you are the MD and MBA of Chief Medical Officer for Cigna Behavioral Health. Now, I know that you helped set the groundwork for all the clinical coordination. Tell us a little bit about Cigna and what you do.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we offer at Cigna is we do have lots of resources available on our website that people can download and read. Our website, www.cigna.com. And parents, there's information for parents, there's information for kids, young adults, education, as well as support in locating resources in the community. One of the other services we provide is our employee assistance programs. Many people through their employer have access to an employee assistance program, and that is a free and confidential service that's available to help people talk about stress, work through stress, and identify resources to manage whatever the issues are going on for that individual or their family at home. And those are great resources for people who are wondering what they can do to help their child with dealing with one
right.
of these mental health or substance
now,
use problems.
Now, do you think that it's important for them to communicate with their teachers, is it a private issue? What's your thought on that?
Certainly, if the issues are identified, it's important to have those conversations with teachers or others to make sure that people understand. Many children, many families are dealing with this. Schools and other supports also have supports that they can make available to families and to kids if they know that there's an issue. And so recommend that families take advantage of that when they can and not try to hide the symptoms or hide the issue from everybody.
Right, because they're embarrassed or they, don't want their family to be like a family that's in trouble, correct?
Right. There is a big stigma out there against mental health and substance use, and many people are not comfortable talking about it. Cigna supports a program called Stamp Out Stigma, and we're actively working to try to get more people to talk about mental health and substance use disorders the same way we talk about diabetes and heart disease and cancer, because these are issues that are out there, they affect everybody, and they're treatable. So we want to make sure we can get people help when they
need
it.
What was the name of the program again, Stamp Out?
Stamp Out Stigma.
Okay.
And it's really geared towards really increasing the conversation and helping people start to talk about mental health and encouraging people to listen to people who are talking about mental health and substance use problems.
Right, right. So let me ask you, what are some of the most common disorders that people are, young adults are actually dealing with?
We certainly see depression and anxiety issues very commonly in teenagers and young adults. There's also the age groups where bipolar disorder starts, eating disorders start occurring, and even more severe mental health issues like schizophrenia can also get started. And certainly substance abuse issues, we hear all the time about teenagers who are starting to use
medicate
and misuse
themselves.
Prescription medications, and they medicate themselves and various other things and causes lots of issues.
Right. And you think that from your experience that this actually first emerges in teenagers and young adults?
Yes, we know that about 1 out of 4 or 5 people in the United States will have a mental health or substance use problem at some time in their life. And of those, 45 to 50% of them will have symptoms by the time they're 14 years old, and 75% will have symptoms starting to emerge by the time they're 24. So these symptoms do start early, the illnesses start early, and that's why we want to encourage people to identify them and get help early so we can prevent the consequences.
You know what, this is definitely a conversation that we needed to have, and I appreciate you being here again, Dr. Doug Nemesek and with Cigna. Where do we find more information? What are the resources that my families out there and my listeners can get in touch with?
Recommend that they go to our website at www.cigna.com. That's CIGNA. And lots of resources there for parents and kids and everybody to help.
Great. And how do we find out more about you?
You can find more information about me as well on that website because where we have profiles, and I recommend that people also talk to their own pediatrician or physician get information as well.
Okay. Thank you so much for making us aware of, so many great things that we could do out there. And if any of my listeners are feeling stuck or feeling this, we have things right here in our own area that you can go out, reach for it. Don't be alone. I mean, there is help, and, together we can do this. So thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Nemesek.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure being on today. Bye-bye.
You got it. All right. We're going to take a really quick break, and I appreciate you being here. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
On September 27th, join the Students for Eco Education in Agriculture at the second annual Ventura County Farm Day. Each location will have activities including guided tours, farmer meet and greets, question and answer sessions, taste testing, produce picking, and more. This is a free, fun day for the entire family, and participants are encouraged to visit as many farms as they can. The Farm Day festivities will continue through the evening at McGrath Family Farm in Camarillo with the Ventura County Farm Day Barbecue. Local farm-to-table chef Tim McCoyne will be providing seasonal sides, while the young farmers and ranchers are grilling up a storm. Milk and Honey Farm will supply the delectable desserts. Again, this event is for the entire family. There'll be live music, dancing, photo booth, and games to keep the kids entertained. Visit the Farm Day website at VenturaCountyFarmDay.com for more information and purchase tickets to the Farm Day Barbecue at Ventura County Farm Day BBQ.eventbrite.com.
Do you struggle with fatigue, sleeplessness, digestive issues, weight gain, or skin problems? What would your life look like if you actually felt good every day? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to regain your vitality, we can help. Core Elements Wellness can help you get to the root cause of your complaints and provide you with a customized health-building blueprint so you can finally start feeling better. To learn more, call 805-277-1977 and mention the Kim Pagano Show for a special discount or check out the website at www.coreelementswellness.com. That's 805-277-1977. Feel good today.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KPTA.
Thank you so much for listening today. And let me end our show with a moment of happiness. Gratitude is the single most important ingredient to living a successful and fulfilled life. With that, have a really great day, and I'll talk to you next week.
It's that time of year again for Phantom Screen Solutions to take care of your doors and windows. Phantom retractable door screens are simple to operate, durable, and blend with any agricultural style. Perfect for new and existing homes, Phantom Screens offers the best of both worlds. They'll give you uninterrupted views and natural ventilation combined with protection from insects and harsh glare from the sun. Call for a quote today, 805-990-1175. That's 805-990-1175.
On September 27th, join the Students for Eco Education in Agriculture at the second annual Ventura County Farm Day. Each location will have activities including guided tours, farmer meet and greets, question and answer sessions, taste testing, produce picking, and more. This is a free, fun day for the entire family, and participants are encouraged to visit as many farms as they can. The Farm Day festivities will continue through the evening at McGrath Family Farm in Camarillo with the Ventura County Farm Day Barbecue. Local farm-to-table chef Tim McCoyne will be providing seasonal sides while the young farmers and ranchers are grilling up a storm. Milk and Honey Farm will supply the delectable desserts. Again, this event is for the entire family. There'll be live music, dancing, photo booth, and games to keep the kids entertained. Visit the Farm Day website at VenturaCountyFarmDay.com for more information and purchase tickets to the Farm Day Barbecue at Ventura County Farm Day BBQ.eventbrite.com.